Old Testament reading for the 11th Sunday after Pentecost is from 1 Kings chapter 19. Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah saying, "So may the gods do to me and more also if I do not make your life as the life of one of them by this time tomorrow." Then he was afraid. He arose and ran for his life, and came to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and he left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, and came and sat down under a broom tree. And he asked that he might die, saying, "It is enough. Now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am no better than my fathers." And he lay down and slept under a broom tree, and behold, an angel touched him and said to him, "Arise." And he looked, and behold, there was at his head a cake baked with hot stones and a jar of water. He ate and drank and lied down in it. And the angel of the Lord came again a second time and touched him and said, "Arise and eat, for the journey is too great for you." He arose and ate and drank and went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, the mount of God. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle reading is from Ephesians chapters 4 and 5. "This I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to their hardness of heart. They have become callous, and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. That is not the way you learn Christ. Assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him as the truth is in Jesus, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and give no opportunity to the devil. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as it fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, and anger, and clamor, and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Gospel according to St. John, the 6th chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me, and yet you do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never cast out. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. So the Jews grumbled about him, because he said, I am the bread that came down from heaven. They said, is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How does he now say, I have come down from heaven? Jesus answered them, do not grumble among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they will all be taught by God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father except he who is from God. He has seen the Father. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Grace to you and peace from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The Old Testament text today was not paired up with today's gospel in the lectionary for the reason you'd hope. The reason they're paired up is because they used the actual manna last week, and they needed a second Old Testament lesson about bread from heaven. You can tell because they take this small clipping from the middle of two much more interesting stories that frame it. But in the context, it shares something deeper that Jesus is also proclaiming in the gospel. The story right before is Elijah and the prophets of Baal. It's a Sunday school staple, if you were part of a Sunday school regularly. But it's more recently fallen a little out of favor. When my kids were younger, I was surprised that it wasn't in one of their picture Bibles. Too Old Testament, I suppose. Elijah, the prophet of Yahweh, has kept it from raining in Israel for 3.5 years. Well, not Elijah himself. He was just the prophet announcing what God was doing. And it was brought on because of King Ahab's weakness and Queen Jezebel's idolatry and wickedness. Ahab and Jezebel, the original power couple, were also the low point of Israel's monarchy, with Jezebel having killed the prophets of Yahweh, while 450 prophets of Baal eat at her table, the established religion. And after 3.5 years, Elijah returns and summons them all to Mount Carmel for a test. He announces, how long will you go limping between two different opinions? The Lord is God, follow him. Baal, then follow him. And the 450 prophets of Baal are to be given a bull for a sacrifice. And Elijah, the only prophet left, is to be given a bull. And they're to petition Yahweh and Baal to send the fire from heaven. Whoever responds with the fire, then you will know. Surely, the pleas of 450 priests of Baal could move him to take his sacrifice. Elijah lets them go first. And they're busy shouting and shrieking and calling out, and Nothing happens. It goes from morning to noon, and Elijah starts mocking them from the sidelines. And they start cutting themselves, adding human blood on top of their sacrifice. And nothing happens. Then Elijah gets up and puts together his altar and puts his offering on it. But that isn't enough. He goes and commands the king's men to go get four large jars of water. And he pours it over the altar. And he tells them to go do it a second time. And he tells them to go do it a third time. Everything was so wet that it had filled a trench of water around the altar. And Elijah calls out to Yahweh once, and the fire comes down and consumes everything, even that trench of water around it. And at that, Elijah orders the people to seize the prophets of Baal, and he proceeds to kill them all. And then he goes and tells Ahab the drought's over. You would think, after seeing all of that, Elijah would be fearless. He's seen God raise the dead, the son of the widow of Zarephath he stayed with. He's seen the fire from heaven at his command. He's seen the crowd rally to Yahweh and the prophets of Baal struck down with his own hand. And he's seen it rain, his command. All of it directed at Ahab and Jezebel. And yet, we get our lesson. Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done. And Jezebel sends out a messenger with a threat. I'm coming for you, Elijah. What does Elijah do? Does he laugh? You couldn't find me for 3.5 years. You're going to find me now? You were powerless to save your state prophets. Your own people turn against you. No. Elijah has seen this mighty work of the Lord, and at the idle word of Jezebel, he was afraid. And he arose and ran for his life. How many times have we prayed and received deliverance from whatever was afflicting us that day? And the next day, there's something else that is making us afraid. That isn't a healthy number. It's not because it doesn't happen. It's because we haven't prayed for deliverance enough. It might not be the fire from heaven, but we've all had our moments of private revelation. Those moments that just as quickly and as surely as they come, and we've seen, and we know, get filed away as we run from the next Jezebel-breathing threats. But what is God's response to this lack of faith? He knows our frame. He remembers that we are but dust. Our days like grass, we flourish like the flowers of the field, and a wind passes over and we are no more. We're gone, and we know our place no more. The steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting. Elijah runs out into the wilderness until he finds a tree, and he begs God to take him there. But God sends him an angel who tells him to get up and eat. God has provided the bread. And so Elijah eats, but this time he does nothing. He falls back to sleep. And this time, the angel of the Lord, which if you trace out this angel, you'll find a lot of interesting stuff. Enough for me to say that you are probably meeting the pre-incarnate Christ, the eternal Son here. The angel of the Lord touches Elijah and says, come and eat. And at this point, he has the strength for 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, Mount Sinai, the Mount of God. And on that night, Elijah will see God. But the important part won't be that sight, but it will be that still, small voice when he hears God and does what he says. We put a heavy premium on seeing. Since we are all de facto and trained modern materialists, if we can't see it, and what we really mean by that is if we can't manipulate it, then it isn't really real. Follow the science that allows us to manipulate it. Which isn't bad advice for the material. It only becomes terrible when it becomes our guide to the spiritual. Because we don't control the spirit. We have no power over the spirit. It blows where it wills. We see spiritual things through that dark glass. We see them around. But we so often forget, or soon put it out of mind. Or we have no framework to understand what we are seeing. Or because it moves in a mysterious way, we take it as harmful and flee. Even Elijah, who had seen the mighty works, is cowering like a frightened child begging for release. And that is when he is given the bread to the angel of the Lord. And we have all been given this bread in Jesus Christ. That bread that will enable our 40 days and 40 nights pilgrimage to the mountain of the Lord. I have said that you have seen, and yet you do not believe. That's what Jesus reminds the crowd. And remember for us that this crowd has been the one that was present out in that wilderness for the feeding of the 5,000. The equivalent of receiving the manna in the wilderness. They'd seen. They know. They'd also been offered the word, the bread of life. But they didn't like that bread so much. Because this is the divide that has come into the world. There are those who will hear the word sent down from heaven by the Father, and then they will see. And there are those who will see nothing more than Joseph's son, whose father and mother we know. Both have seen the same Jesus, but seeing isn't believing. It's believing. It's eating the bread of life that enables us to see him arrive. And there's one overriding spiritual thing that Jesus keeps emphasizing here that he wants us to see. This is the will of my Father. That everyone who looks on the Son and believes should have eternal life. and I will raise him up on the last day. And he says again, truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes has eternal life. And again, anyone who eats of this bread will live forever. The specific idolatry of our world is disbelief in that. Dying and that being it, a final blackness, may not at first be comforting, but it lets us off the hook of a lot of things. You can even use the psalmist's words against his point. A wind passes over us and we are no more. So what difference does it really make? We're all just stardust tending towards heat. What we see is all something of an illusion that our desperate brains are trying to create for us. We're all just looking for our own moon tree to sit under and expire. That is not what Jesus has come to give us. Jesus is not about enlightenment so that we can go to nirvana. No, he's the bread of life that we can journey to the Father. The one who made everything desires you to live. Because he's given you to his Son. And his Son is not going to lose anything. The one who made everything is going to remake everything, including you on that last day. And what you do and believe does matter. We don't get off that easy. Elijah didn't get off that easy. He had to journey those 40 days and those 40 nights and then go back to Jezebel. God came down to him for that journey. And God has come down to us and fed us for our journey. The bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. He's given us his flesh right there on that cross, which enables us to pick up our cross and follow him. And he's given us that flesh here on this altar. Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Hear that word. Believe. Then rise and eat. Because we're going to see the Father. Amen.